She wears soft contacts. She looks great. She knows it. But her eyes didn't always feel great. Sometimes she wouldn't disinfect her lenses. Her eyes bothered her. Then her doctor switched her to Aocept. Aocept is so easy to use. She knows Aocept is working because she can see it bubbling. Her eyes feel healthy now because they are. Try Aocept. You'll see.
It is June 1890.
Oh boy! Get off of my claim!
We found an even older sassy than the one from 1979.
I've been panning for gold for nigh on 12 years and I've only found this one nugget.
It is June 1980.
Oh no, I'm dead.
We have exhumed you. And sure, you could think about Carrie Otis on the cover of Cosmos staring at you from the bathroom floor. You could think about the outfits you might put together this summer if you could get some babysitting gigs and someone to take you to Kmart. Maybe next year you can ask for a vacation to this new Mall of America you've heard about. Sounds like a much better monument than the ones in D.C. But you can't care about all of that because Dad's here. Dad's a spy. School's out. You failed gym. That happened before school was out. Patrick McHare said to leave him alone, like in front of everybody at the Baskin-Robbins. You got fired from Baskin-Robbins because you spit in Patrick McHare's ice cream and tried to say, enjoy flavor 32, bitch. But the spit was kind of bubbly stringy and you didn't have full control of your lip-talking skills, so all you got out was, wait, this is you. You got banned from the Nine Corners Mall for yelling, enjoy flavor 32, bitch, at the food court when you retold the story to Amy with the better ending. Your friend Amy is moving away, which, after all of this, is still the worst thing that's ever happened. You're moving away. And maybe, finally, you can actually disappear and nobody will ever talk to you and you will never accidentally fall in love again. Even Beetlejuice is moving away, leaving the cinema this week, and you like Beetlejuice. You might have even loved Beetlejuice, but we'll never love you back. Goodbye, Dennis from Second Period History's dad and your mom's former... I did say it three times.
Yes.
I didn't even mean to.
Goodbye, Dennis from Second Period History's dad and your mom's former boyfriend who is running for governor. Smell you never. You were wondering what it means that dad's leaving tomorrow to put a prime minister or two to sleep, but that sounds like grown-up shit to you. Nobody fucking cares about you, especially your dad. So why should you care right now about who's in his Filofax? Time to open up this magazine and figure out what kind of person identifies with polka dots in a world with so much heartbreak. Yes, it's time to...
listen to Sassy!
Well, back to hell I go!
I darned your socks before you leave.
I forgot that at the tail end of my prospecting life, I killed three widows. Bye!
Old man log jam. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was quite the journey in every respect. Look, before we continue, I have to do a Dave correction corner, which apparently is how it's presented in the doc. I've been branded. My mistakes have been branded. Hooray. Dave correction corner. The CD thing that I was complaining about from Batman apparently is actually from Batman Returns. Thank you for pointing that out, dear listeners. I regret the error.
I believe it was Scott J, but I could be mistaken.
Well, in that case, go to hell.
A lot of people just sighed in relief at this new DCC, which is what we'll call it.
Shall we get into the issue?
Yeah.
Starting with our cover, they have the little blurb about the model on About Face. And when I saw that the beautiful girl on the cover of the June 1989 issue was 13, I was scandalized. I know that models are always younger than you think they are. But 13 is really young. And the funny thing about seeing her in the About Face versus the cover is that they left a whole bunch of space above her, the top of her head on the About Face picture, which just makes her look even shorter and smaller and younger and more 13 years old. She's just a girl they saw when they were in Morocco shooting the third fashion story of this episode and or this issue rather. And they discovered her and I can't find whatever happened to her after that because her ex-model mother was smart enough to say, you can just call her Julie and didn't supply a last name. Good call. Julie, if you're out there, bonjour, because she's French.
Yeah.
Our first fashion feature is called When She Was Good. Our photographer is George Holtz, and our model is Amanda.
George Holtz!
I love this copy. I just love it. I love When She Was Good. This is the concept, is that there's two sisters here. There's a good twin and a bad twin walking around kind of a graveyard, being just, you know, a lady looking around in great wigs. So the copy says, Amanda has a lot of quirks. Everybody says so. Like, she always wears these antique dresses. Sometimes she spends all afternoon asleep in one of her dad's old cars. She loves cemeteries. And then there's her twin sister.
Yeah, the way they've styled her to be the bad girl is, and I think it's just one wig, because the other is her real short blonde hair. This is Amanda, who was the cover girl in May. She really does look like a bad girl from a John Waters movie. Like, it's very big, crybaby-ish hair. And the styling is similar to off the shoulder, short skirts, looking like a bad girl.
She was also giving me the wife from Goodfellas vibes.
Uh-huh.
Janet Rossi in 4R is a whore.
Yeah.
The looks are all very, very cute. And hold up, I think now, wig and all, you can get away with all of these looks.
Mm-hmm.
I can't place it, but the font, the main headline font, really feels like it's like also used in a cartoon from the 90s. Like a Nickelodeon, like Rugrats or something like that. Or
no,
Doug.
Here's what it reminds you of, I think. Emily the Strange.
Wait, no. Emily the Strange is like the Osborne font.
Is it?
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
Font checked.
I don't know why I know that, but
I don't know either.
Popped in my head like that.
From following me and Sarah around when we went shopping on Queen Street in the 90s and early 2000s.
That's probably exactly why I know it. On the list of things that are comfortable to do, fall asleep in a car in the summer, especially an old car that seems to have those like plasticky, it's almost like a diner booth from the 50s material over these front seats in the car. You just like wake up and your back is stuck to it. Just like you're trying to get up. Like, well, that's my back skin.
Dave, how many rando cars have you slept in the summer on the street?
How many rando cars have you slept in? Two. I mean, random, or like cars that I have actually
like that
slept
you
in.
Broke into someone's car. And
zero.
It sure sounds like you went.
Well, once upon a time, I did a cross-country road trip with my father. It wasn't really a road trip. It was more like, let's get to L.A. And my dad was a thrifty fellow, and he saw no need to pay for a hotel, but we can just stop at one of America's beautiful rest stops.
Whoa.
You know, push our seat backs and have a little snooze. And I was like, you know those camp scenes where it's like the killer outside, and they're like every little raccoon that makes a noise or bird or something like that. Like, well, that's obviously a serial killer. I was like that and didn't get one wink of sleep. And like, it turns out there was somebody in the area at the time that was doing something. Like, unbeknownst to me, I wasn't paranoid because I had that news beforehand, but there was somebody menacing people at rest stops in the area. And I want to say it was like Pennsylvania-y or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is two, that car being one, and then the other car we drove in on the way back years later because he was still a thrifty man. And that's it. Since then, I married Tara, and it's hotels all the way.
Yeah, your life is better, isn't it?
I'm not complaining.
Yeah. The other thing you didn't mention is that the car in question was a Dodge Colt.
Yes.
Not a large car. And your dad, I mean, you're not very tall, but you're too tall to sleep in a Dodge Colt. And your dad certainly was, because he was notably taller than you.
Yeah. Anything else about this fashion thing?
No.
No, but hotels all the way. It's something I'm going to say forever. Once I married this person, it was hotels all the way.
Well, it was. We have an agreement. Tara doesn't tell me how much it costs, and Tara gets to book the hotel. And then I'm happy because I'm not sleeping in some terrible place, and I don't know. And I don't know the value of the hotel because I don't prescribe the same value to hotels as Tara does, even though, like, if we did it and I'm like, no, let's find the hotel for X minus $50 versus X. At the end of that week, I would be miserable. So I know that I'm getting in the way of my own happiness.
Yeah.
So I have to not just not know the price.
Yeah.
And Tara books it. And then we all agree that's the way we're going to live our lives.
Yeah.
Tara changed the way I hotel. But she doesn't just unpack. She like makes a little home at her home away from home. And I, you know, that is what I do now.
Yeah.
I'm in and out of there. But when while I'm there, I live there. I paid for it.
Right.
Don't tell Dave.
That's why they give you a dresser. Put your stuff in it.
Getting back to this photo shoot for just a moment.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you want.
She's raking leaves in bare feet. Adora proof. You're gonna step on twigs. You're gonna step on berries. You're gonna step on perhaps thistles.
Yeah.
It's gonna hurt.
You're right.
That's what she's doing actually in the picture.
Yeah, it looks like she's
tending
like,
to a recent wound.
Bye. Spiders everywhere.
Second fashion feature is called Traveling Light. This is the aforementioned Marrakesh photo shoot that doubles as both a fashion story and a packing story. Basically, it boils down to, y'all heard of layering? Because that's essentially what it is. Sometimes it gets cold at night. Bring a sweater. Wear something light during the day when it's hot. But what strikes you in 2022 looking at this fashion story is... something we brought up when they were in the Caribbean and the swimsuit stories in 88. Using local residents as exotic props in your on-location fashion story, which is like, this is even more troubling because Morocco is a Muslim-majority country and all of these fashion tips are like, wear this sundress with your, you know, a sleeveless blouse over top. And it's like, no, if you're in a Muslim country... They like you to cover your legs and your shoulders, and it's respectful to do that, whether that is your faith or not. And, like, none of that is mentioned or acknowledged in this particular fashion story at all. And one of them is the model standing between two women near a hill somewhere. They have baskets on their head, and it's like, here I am with Aisha and Fatima. Don't they dress neat? It's like, ooh, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, they do, but I don't feel like that's complete sincerity.
You can also tell the difference between turtles and rocks. They're so smart.
Oh, no, don't bring it up again.
Well, I mean, that's the same vibe.
Yeah. So, you know, it just makes it hard to separate the fashion suggestions of the story from the context in which you are seeing them. That's all.
The picture on page 55 looks like it was not always easy to try to make it look like everyone thought this was a great idea. Everybody on page 55 is like, this one is too far.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see her above her knees. Like, you know, there are some parts of the South where this would not have been okay in 1989 in America, you know?
Right.
So.
What I'm seeing is at some point after this photo, which, by the way, in this photo, she's standing in front of a storefront or some sort of like drinkery or something like that, with a really awesome Orangina sign, by the way, that I would love to have.
Yep.
And then at some point after this, she took that flag and put it on her head. So there's another thing that's really respectful about visiting a foreign nation is nice flag, hat, all that. Aside, would you wear any of this?
Certainly would not go out to dinner in the bloomers that they're saying I can also wear to sleep in. That's not something I'm doing. I always kind of hated this bandana print when it's on anything other than a bandana. So the jacket that she's wearing with the bloomers, ill-advisedly, I probably wouldn't. The rest of it is okay. I don't mind the sundress, but it's hard to see it because they put a blouse over top. I don't know. What about you, Pam?
Oh, yeah, I like a lot of the sundresses. And I kind of like this... I don't wear dirty dancing shorts that go all the way down to the knee like this because I look ridiculous.
Same.
At any age. It's not a good look on me. But I wonder if I'd worn a little see-through skirt on top of it like this. That's kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's got a dress on it.
Yeah.
I don't think I could pull off a flag as a headband.
No. Dave, is there anything you would wear?
Yeah, actually, in the very first photo of the taxi in quotations, as if like that is the only way you can travel around is by horse and carriage.
Yeah.
I would totally wear whatever that guy is wearing. The sort of Obi-Wan Kenobi Jedi robe thing he's got going on. But it's sort of like halfway between that and like those sweaters we used to wear.
Yeah. It's like a Baja hoodie.
Yeah.
It's called a jalaba. And it would be like down to the, you know, mid calf or ankle.
I could pull it off, I think.
Yeah, this might be the solution when for those days when you don't feel like putting your little blanket over your lap when we're recording. But this could be like your version of a Snuggie with a hood up. Noted. Our third and final fashion feature is called Blueprints. Two different words, but you see what they did there. Blueprints, but it's also prints that are blue. our photographer, a new photographer, Torkil Gundason. And love everything about this because I am a real boring basic bitch and I love blue and especially navy, which is what most of this is.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah, you can.
Every part of it. Basic, blue, stripes.
Yeah. Love a stripe. Love blue. Mm-hmm.
I do want to just bring up that for some reason, I'm not quite sure why blue prints, why they chose that font. It's very collegiate.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't really match, but also if like just have to, it's like the same font they use for like every Cold War thriller movie poster at the time, like Crimson Tide or yeah, exactly, all these sort of things, and Top Gun-esque. It's not exactly, but it doesn't really match the vibe they're going for here. If it's blue prints, like just break out the drafting font.
Yeah, you had a note about this model.
Oh, yeah. This model, to me, I was trying to place it. She's like, it really looks like somebody. Who does it look like? And I eventually settled on the love child of young Renee Zellweger and Olivia Williams from Rushmore.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If they had a love child, this model might be it.
I can see it.
Why would you call yourself basic for this these clothes? Because they are not.
I think just generally Tara's a basic bitch is what she's
no, wait. Saying.
That is what I'm saying. I mean, Pam, literally, the third one is a white dress with a navy sweater over it. Like, that's kind of as basic as you can get.
I mean, the most crazy one is white polka dots on navy.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. This is one I just want to know. Like, what makes someone know they can wear polka dots? Because I do have a lot of different kinds of prints in my life, but I don't have anything that's polka dotted.
Additional question. How do you identify the threshold of polka dot size in which you cannot go over? Because I feel like there is, you know, like there is a density after which you are trying to host a children's program.
Well, what they always tell you is that you should wear a print that's comparable to your figure. So if you are a more full-figured person, you should wear bigger dots. You shouldn't wear like teeny tiny close together dots because it makes they look bigger on your figure.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So what made you go, I like dots? Like, do they make you happy? Or you think that when you're in them, I'm asking this basic bitch question because I don't quite like, I've never thought, oh, these are cute on me. They're not. So what is it that makes me not be able to pull off dots? You look quite cute in them.
I don't really do dots that much. I'm definitely more stripes.
Mm-hmm.
Dave
mm-hmm.
is nodding. He knows. He's yeah. been in my closet. It's also closet his closet.
Yeah. You go in there, it's like, whoa, what are all these zebras doing in here? Dots are like when you do motion capture, it's like a mocap suit. Like you, no, but it accentuates your topography.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It's basically, it's a 3D map on a 2D plane of your boobs and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you got it and you want to flaunt it, polka dots provide a distortion map to your body. Starlight Jam.
Just walking into a contempo being like, I need stuff to cover my boobs and such. You have something in a 3D topographic.
Like, if you can find another podcast that marries the worlds of fashion and mocap and displacement maps.
My soft contacts were very excited about the look with the suspender skirt on page 66. This is great. And also this hair. I would love to be able to pull off just a pissed off B-52.
Yeah. But she also might be one of the Mars Attacks aliens. You got to be careful about that.
Still so sexy. I guess that's why. Like, this to me is sexy. And when I hear, like, basic, I think that you're trying to remove sexuality from what you're wearing. I hate the page, the next page, though. Page 67. This outfit, if my mom would make me wear, it looks like an outfit your mom makes you wear because she's having lunch with her friends.
Yeah, it's those shorts. It's those shorts again.
Going down to the business pool. Yeah, be terrible. Right back.
Yes, it's made out of whatever jacquard is. And it's just, it's a couch on your butt in bike pants.
Yeah.
And
if you could wear a backsplash as a pair of pants?
It is actually a cute backsplash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would totally have that in my kitchen. I just wouldn't put it on my waist.
I couldn't stop staring at her big giant hands. The picture on page 63. Well, I mean,
shots fired.
Look at that. No, no, that's how I know she must be an incredibly successful Vogue model because look, this badass look with the cardigan and the jeans. on page 63 with like a hint of beehive. Oh my gosh. I wish, like, all I want is to be able to do this, like walk somewhere, jut a hip, put my giant hands on what can cover half my pelvis and an entire thigh.
Somebody yeah. throws you a basketball, you just catch it with one hand.
Yeah.
Yo, 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 throw me the rock.
The thumbs on this chick are even cowgirls get the blues level, like length. And I just...
Wow. The things you notice that other yeah. people don't. Yeah. Other people...
Look at them.
I guess. I don't know.
Her thumbs are wider than any belt she could put in her belt. Her belt loops are bigger than her crotch. I don't understand her dimensions, but they're great.
They're custom belt loops for when she wants to hook her giant thumbs in there so they fit.
It's true. I didn't think about that.
Otherwise, they get stuck. It's like a Chinese finger trap kind of thing. She just walked down the street waddling because her two thumbs are caught in her waistband. Help! Help!
Next, here's what's not happening next, what they're suggesting in What Next This Month. They're saying, are you bored of your jeans? Here's what you should do. First, put a prairie dress over them. Okay. Second, again with the fucking bloomers, they're trying it again. Wear bloomers over your jeans. But here's how they get you, and this is how you know they don't have the courage of their convictions, is that Felicia, the model who never ever combs or brushes her hair, Pam, is sitting on a stool, and the other girl, she's standing next to her, but she's at like showing a three-quarter profile. And like you can see that whatever they've done with the bloomers, like the back pockets of her jeans are still visible. So did they cut the back out of the bloomers, like they're folded over her belt.
I don't understand what's going on in the
I don't either.
It's like she's almost done with her shift.
Yeah.
My best guess is that she tucked the whole bloomer or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Into her pants.
Yes.
And there's like a lot of extra material.
Yeah.
So she pulled it out of her fly.
Yes.
And then spread it out over the top of her pants.
Yeah.
And then put a belt over it.
The only way this works, now I have a theory. The theory is that the bloomers that they had didn't fit her. So they were like, just put only one leg in it.
Mm-hmm.
No one will know. We'll cheat it. We'll put you behind Felicia. But then the angle was still such that you could see her. She's only got one leg through it because you can see the butt of her jeans. It's so dumb looking. And like jeans, dress over jeans, this is like you in polka dots, Pam. Like people can do it. I've seen it done. I know it can look cool on people. If she were standing up, it would probably look cool on her because they look like, especially for the time, like very straight leg jeans. But everything has to be the exact right proportion or it all goes wrong. Like this is a look with a high degree of difficulty to pull off.
I have been wearing the prairie dress over the jeans.
So you're the one.
Well, it's comfy and forgiving. And yes, you have to really elongate the leg
right.
on someone like me. Or yes, you look like you've melted into your pants. mm-hmm. But the one on the, okay, back to bloomer crazy. You're right. Yeah. Like, obviously, yes, I think that you're right. She has some of the pants on and not all of the bloomers, and they've tried to belt it so it wouldn't fall off because right. she's not actually wearing them.
Right.
But it completely looks like when your kid wants to be a pirate for Halloween, but then doesn't like the outfit. And so, like, I'm cold and I'm going to, okay, so then you're wearing pants and then you're putting the mm-hmm. pirate top in and dad's belt, it doesn't fit right. So yep. you go out in this. Their jeans are cute, though.
The jeans are really good. Mm-hmm. I'm jealous of the jeans.
Not jealous of the massive foot blisters Felicia's going to have after walking around in those very tight shoes and those socks.
You're not kidding, because I had those like cowboy shoe tees. I had
them. Those are bleedy blisters. She's going to have them. Bleedy blisters.
And not only that, the ones I had were knockoffs that I got from Payless Shoe Source, and so they were like made with some kind of terrible naga hide. And I'm sure I still have blisters like underneath one layer of skin to this day from those. Just one beauty feature this month. It's called Better Braids. Beg to differ. These, you know, it's sort of like with the bandana story where it's like, okay, there's one or two good ideas and then a lot of crazy. Yeah, that is definitely the case with this one as well. And they start out They come in so hot on page 38 with the style they have called Go Crazy, which is basically just section off random bits of your hair. We're only going to show you what it looks like from the back. So you're like, oh, that might be kind of cool, so that you can't see from the front that you look like a cartoon character and not a cool one. This does sort of anticipate the crazy updo styles of like the mid to late 90s, where it was just like stuff was twisted up and springing everywhere. There was a lot of gel going on and it was very explosive and ferny.
I think a better name for this one might be Pineapple Bjork.
Yeah. Yep.
Because her head looks like a pineapple now. Mm-hmm. After you like section them all off. I don't understand how you do this, but yeah. Her head looks like a pineapple with 17 rat tails on it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not basic. Like, that's what it says. No. Basic braids are back, only better. Mm-hmm. Basic bitch braids. And well,
I think they're saying this is just a braid. It's not a fishtail or anything. Like, this is just a standard three-piece braid. The only difference is there's 15 of them on your head.
Yes. And only more as the page grows. The last one is 57 braids or something. The one in the middle, the one at the end.
It is.
Yeah, you pay a lot of money for these looks when you want them done correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, braiding is complicated. This is why they have, like, salons where that's all they do. I mean, mostly for black hair, but, you know, braids are complex. And speaking of black hair, page 41, we got a girl in, like, she went to Barbados and she got the cornrows and she is real white and she should not. And she looks mad. The model looks mad that they did this to her, actually.
She just looks damp.
She does look damp as well.
She just, like, someone hit the button and she fell in the pool. Mm-hmm. And she came up and she's like, oh, I thought this would be sexy.
This is the hairstyle from, like, a direct-to-video action movie.
Yep.
Like, this is the hairstyle from Strange Days 2.
Yes.
: Stranger Days.
That's right. This is, like,
or the Sixth Element.
Yes! I was just gonna say, when you can't get Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, Fila Fovovich. Yeah. Is the hair on the next page, page 42, which is like this giant Gordian knot at the top of her head, is that real hair?
I think so.
I'm saying all of Jennifer's looks with the braids, I'm like, she must have a lot of hair to be able to do on page 39, the four more, that's four braids.
Yeah.
Hooked together in
one ponytail.
And lace.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She really must have a healthy head of hair.
Mm-hmm.
And the color difference makes sense. This is very light on top and very dark on.
Oh
head.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah, your ends are usually lighter than your roots. So I don't think this is necessarily fake hair. It could be.
And what about the gymnast equipment kit as a head of hair, lady?
On page 43?
Page 40 and page 43, same model.
Yeah.
Looks like she, like, is going in to play Medusa all the time. Mm-hmm. But, like, all of the braids create loops, and it looks like you're supposed to, like, do gymnastic maneuvers off of them.
Yeah.
Very weird. It's not elegant. I feel like they were going for, like, Roman elegance or something like that, or Greek. Just looks weird and like eventually your scalp would hurt because the weight of it is pulling your skin in a direction you don't want it to.
Well, Dave, let me tell you about all of these styles.
Please do.
They are all going to hurt your scalp. Like, there is going to be no relief, like, when you get home from wherever you were doing this and take all your hair out. It's going, and then you're just going to, like, be scratching your head.
Sure, but if you're walking down the street with this get looped setup, you're going to have hop-ons. You got to watch for hop-ons.
I never made the gym equipment connection, but you're right. What this looks like is the rope from when you do rope pull-downs at the gym.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. Get Looped to me looks like, if anyone remembers the CW's show Rain, which was about Mary Queen of Scots before she was Mary Queen of Scots. It was like a really half-assed, always anachronistic attempt to be like, this is what it was like in Tudor times with these girls in castles. With bare sleeves, like, you know, walking around in these diaphanous dresses from Anthropology. It's like, no, you were going to be wrapped in 20 shawls because it's cold. It's England. It's a castle. You don't have central heating.
It's the English version of When Calls the Heart. What does this take place?
It was.
What's up with these hairstyles?
It was.
Why do they have cell phones?
Yes, but this is the kind of thing where it's like also anachronistic, where it's like, well, this looks pasty. And then there's like no connection to the actual historical record. About Face. Back to About Face, where we were earlier to talk about Julie, the tween model. Their beauty crisis of the month for June 1989 is...
I don't think you say it with enough urgency.
Beauty crisis of the month! When it's humid, my shoulder-length, naturally curly hair gets frizzy. What can I do or use to stop this? There's a lot of preamble where it's like, keep your hair trimmed, blah, 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 wash your hair. You ever heard of washing your hair? And then the key piece of advice seems to be, once it's dry, massage a dollop of pomade, which seals out moisture, the biggest cause of flyaways, through the underside of your hair and steer clear of styling products that are high in alcohol. Okay, high in alcohol, fine. Although I don't know how many people are reading the ingredients on their shit. But like, how big is a dollop? You know what I mean? Like, a dollop is, usually they say like the size of a dime or the size of a clementine or whatever. Like, and then massage it. How? Like, this doesn't tell me anything.
I also, it says one part shampoo, three parts water. What do? I put shampoo in my hand and then I cup it under the shower? Or do I make a separate?
That? Who's no doing that? That?
No just one's doing that. Isn't that shampoo. Why I wet my hair first?
Right.
That's the delusion.
A yes. Dollop is a heaping tablespoon.
Oh.
So I think you owe an apology to the dollop.
I apologize to the dollop.
Yeah, it's forgotten. Okay. Don't worry about it. I just like a tablespoon, but a bit bigger. Some people call me husky, but I'm not. I'm a small quarter cup.
Hey, dollop. What are you doing today? What are you doing this
weekend?
Okay.
Just hanging out in my cup.
Yeah, that's fun.
Can I be in your hair?
Well, it's not diluted with water and shampoo yet. Okay.
I don't want to go in that basic bitch's hair.
Sticky.
Yuck. This is always my beauty crisis because my hair is frizzy all the time. And I do keep it trimmed, but it's out of control.
People are always like, oh, you're growing little baby hairs. No, that's how it always looks in front. I'm just always about to get bangs.
Yeah. Well, I bought pomade. So, I bought the stuff that they recommended, Felicia recommended. So I'll let you know how it goes if I'm ever going anywhere where I think my hair needs to look good. MRI at 9 a.m. today, not making the list.
Oh. Well, also, can you not? You can't, right? Like, you're not supposed to put anything on to go in one of those machines.
Well, they said one of the things they said was make sure you remove eye makeup. It's like, that's adorable that you think I'm putting makeup on and then taking it off before I come to this 9 a.m. appointment.
I'd like to just believe when they get the scans, the output from the MRI, like one of the things it just cannot penetrate is eye makeup. So you get the scan and it's like, I don't know, whatever, your circulatory system, except you got whore eyes.
But what if it's because there's little pieces of glitter or metal and your eyelids up to the top of the MRI, like out of...
Like a Chuck Avery cartoon?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God.
Tex Avery. Very Ren and Stimpy. Just
Tex Avery, yes.
Yeah. One, just a sidebar about the MRI before we move on. Why got to be so loud? This just seems like something
I know
where...
It's working.
I find it soothing. Yeah, I think of it as like...
Ka-dunk.
If toddlers made up Radiohead songs, that's what an MRI is. And there's like, and then it can go, chung, 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 chung. And I think I can see the words. And so I take a nap.
Yunga
chaka. Yes. So our next.
Yeah.
Go Redhead.
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I was about to prompt.
Dollop's back.
Yeah. I'll talk about the next thing. I forgot
the
voice.
You already changed the voice.
I forgot what it was. Oh, it's Dollop Jr. He's just a little bit less than the tablespoon.
Hello. He's pea-sized.
Hi, little dollop.
Little dollop.
Little Dolly's dollops. So Sassy does not like to be wrong, but clearly got a little feedback on the just put some shit on your face that you can't find in your kitchen article. So now, like a cool teen, has come back to be like, oh, did you have a hard time finding our exotic herbs? Don't worry about it. Send a dollar to Meadowbrook Herb Garden in Wyoming, and they'll send you a catalog.
Wyoming, Rhode Island.
Okay. See, I'm already sending the wrong thing somewhere for my witchery. So if you need boxed nettle tea, rosemary sage, loose rose petals, lavender, dyed roses and geraniums, to name a few.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Yes. Or, you know, go to a nursery that you probably have.
Or, based on this photograph that accompanies this little blurb, go to Crabtree and Evelyn. They already made all this shit. Just buy it.
Or, based fancy. On everything, just cover your face in stuffing.
Stuffing. Just put your head in a bag of stovetop.
Well, like, rosemary, sage.
Yes.
Like, this is all stuff that's in turkey stuffing. Just like
loose rose petals.
Stovetop.
Tastes like Thanksgiving.
Yes. And then it's Thanksgiving morning and your dad.
We didn't
like,
land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on my face.
The Thanksgiving story was not part of our testing for the naturalization exam we had to take. We need to learn things about America that you all learned in fifth grade. Thanksgiving wasn't on that list.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about ads. The ads of the June 89 issue are two-page spread. Right, the inside cover is our friend Renee Jeffis. She's a cover girl. She was our cover girl back in December 1988. And here she is letting us know about Cover Girl Lip Slicks Lip Gloss. And they basically are like, it's, the headline is start with a hint of color. And then they show all of the different lip slicks plus like kisses of what they're going to look like on you. And all of these are just like, get ready for the no makeup makeup of the 90s, because this is definitely a turning point from like the heavy, heavy makeup of the 80s. All of these look like you barely have anything on your mouth. They're real subtle.
Of the six colors, five of them begin with the word hint. Mm-hmm. Hint of pink, hint of bronze, fuchsia, coral, red, and then lots of shine.
Yeah.
Is number two.
Mm-hmm. I was sure you flagged this because of the accessories that poor Renee is made to wear in this photo.
Yeah.
All three are, well, you can even include the jacket and the collar. Everything is horrible.
Yeah.
So
those aren't dishwasher safe.
No. What is that butterfly clip brooch thing? It looks like it looks like very flammable plastic.
Yeah, Buffalo Bills right behind her, but on the brooch.
It does, but like, I appreciate that the Lucite bracelet that she's wearing echoes what they're trying to tell you in this ad, which is you're going to be able to see straight through this lip gloss to your actual lip color underneath.
Yeah. Well, it's the other page that I hate. Yes. Look at that earring. It's like she got it for a quarter in a machine on her way out of the 7-Eleven.
It's a Flintstones earring.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's cute. It's like a little purple ice cube. I don't hate it. Sorry. The bread is, or no, I mean, the pin is bad.
You are a basic bitch.
What?
I've learned. Thank
Nothing.
You. You've solved
Never
my
mind,
puzzle.
Tara. Shh. Let's just continue.
Nice. Move on. Let's go on.
Oh, no. On page five, we have an ad for what
wait,
we're...
Wait. Let me just introduce this one. Mom, can I have some gum?
Yeah.
Just go get it. It's in my purse. Okay.
Thank you. That's, Dave, that's exactly why I flagged this.
Okay.
So in the late 80s, the tampon manufacturers started to realize the biggest fear of every teen person who has a period is someone's going to know something's coming out of me. And so they started marketing first the Playtex ones that were like that you had to essentially assemble the applicator yourself so that they would be smaller and you could like keep them in your hand, keep them in your teeniest pocket. And so this is introducing new OB handy packs. OBs are already the smallest tampons you can get because they don't have an applicator at all. But the handy packs are just like, it's just a little box. It could be anything. They look like the gum is exactly what they look like they could be if you just saw this in a bag. But
Mom, this gum isn't very chewy.
But whatever you're trying
Give me
to
dry mouth.
Right. But whatever, like as soon as someone is like, oh, that's your tampon box, it's like the illusion is over. If any boy happens to leaf through this issue while he's waiting for you to take you out to see Beetlejuice, you know.
No, these are Moroccan cigarettes.
The nice thing about OB was you really could palm it just like in the crux of your go to the bathroom. Nobody knew. Nobody knew what you were up to.
No. This is not necessary. OB.
Wouldn't it be better to just take them out and use spent lipstick holders or something if you're really paranoid about it?
That's why Bust Magazine had that pencil holder. Mm-hmm. It looks like a pencil bag, but it's for tampons.
Or, hear me out, bandolier.
I disagree, Tara. These boxes are very cute because you could reuse them and you could put stuff in there that you don't want anybody to touch because they're like, those are your tampons. And you're like, psych, it's my cash.
But they're so small. What would you put in them?
A dollop of this, a dollop of that.
I don't have any cocaine. I would put dollops of money.
Yeah.
You could put, first of all, you could put magic drinks in there.
What? You could put what? What?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Magic something. Wait, let us guess. Wait, don't tell us.
Magic tricks. Because you don't want anybody to know it. Magic tricks. You could put the bunnies, the multiplying bunnies in there. And then when someone needs a magic trick on the school bus or during a fire drill.
The size of your hand. You can't put a bunny in there.
No, the little, have you ever seen the things and then you open your hand, there's thousands of bunnies.
Okay, yeah.
You could, and you can't just carry that around because they're all big. And so you've got to squish them in, an Easter egg. But that's even weirder to carry around and someone's going to grab it. But if nobody's going to touch my tampon box, then you get to put the things in there that you don't want anyone to touch or your little sister to touch because it's your tampon box.
You think Colonel Sanders had one of these with the seven herbs and spices in it? Why does this purse always smell so good?
Yes.
We'll never know. All that's in there is cash, three revolvers, and a tampon box for some reason.
Now you're thinking, Dave. That's it.
Let's move on to the worst ad I've possibly ever seen.
You said to me the day before I opened this magazine, boy, the Sweet 16 contest. And I thought, we've seen pictures in the magazine of people that are not models, like the intern and various contest winners in the past and stuff.
Yeah, this is on page 19. Please go look at it in the visual aids right fucking now, because this is the Ermagerd Gersperms meme girl, her older sister.
Yeah.
This is it's so unflattering. Who fucking picked this picture? This was the worst one you had. The only thing I can think is this girl was a bitch at the shoot. And this is her punishment.
She's someone's kid.
And you think?
And she is mortified to find out that this is the picture that they chose.
Oh my God. It's so unflattering. This is clearly not an unattractive person, but the face she is making, it looks like it hurts. It hurts me to look at
her out. Too, everything is, that's a Pittsburgh Steelers jacket, and she's carrying her little Discman, Walkman yellow thing, and she's got her gloves, her fingerless gloves, and her cute tote. She thought this was going to be amazing. She was going to be in a sassy ad for diamonds. And it's this.
Yeah.
Oh. 720 Sassy Go, are you okay?
Yeah, really sort of, the more I look at it, the more it reads hostage situation.
I can't stop looking at it.
It really does. I'm not getting any closer to it, but the face seems to be growing.
It's like she's opening her mouth to get oral surgery, this smile. Oh, this poor girl.
Yeah.
Her hair looks
I don't
good.
Think I felt more sympathy for anybody in this magazine.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's been some hard luck stories. Yeah, for some reason, all my sympathy goes to Jess here.
even the buildings are just falling away. That was so terrible. So terrible.
But the pose is sort of she is terrified of roller coasters, and they made her go on a roller coaster. You're like,
now smile.
Yeah, smile. You don't get paid.
I mean, I almost don't think we should talk about anything else after this. This feels like the end of the episode, but we do have more to discuss.
Oh, rest in peace, Diamond Girl.
Oh, God.
Diamond is forever, but this picture will last an eternity. Okay, you guys, page 23. I couldn't believe I was the one to flag the hair-raising offer for bold hold, because it's the first thing you notice after hair-raising offer is at the bottom. It says, easy, huh? Do it. Now I'm going to read to you what it says. You look at these hair products. They're not big enough for you to quite understand what's going on. And then it says, here's the deal. And this is all in that Fido Dido font. Number one, buy any of these killer bold hold styling products or one of our new shampoos or conditioners. Save the proof of purchase. Then you follow little dots to the arrow. Number two, take the proof of purchase and this coupon to any Sam Goody or Musicland. Then you, so you have to cut out this coupon. This coupon will give save $2 on top hits, because number three, they'll give you $2 off any non-sale record tape or CD. Then when you look at the coupon, it, first of all I could imagine was me walking into a Sam Goody or a Musicland with a cutout coupon from a Sassy and going, no, you're supposed to give me $2 off because here's my UPC code. You're like holding a UPC code, this piece of paper.
That you cut off a bottle of shampoo. So it's like a curved piece of plastic,
sure.
The proof of purchase.
Absolutely. So if you figured that one out, then it says, take this coupon and bold hold proof of purchase, dated and a dated cash register receipt with bold hold price circled and tracing of the words bold hold from the front of the package on a piece of paper to any participating Musicland or Sam Goody store nationwide. Coupon good for $2 off the regular price of any non-sale hit, $7.99 and above, available at Sam Goody or Musicland. Only one coupon per LP, cassette, or CD. Sales tax is the responsibility of the consumer, not valid in combination with any other offer. No photocopies or reproductions.
Oh my God, I'll just pay the $2. Why are you giving me this homework? Save a receipt from the drugstore? Are you insane? The only reason I would ever save a receipt when I was this age is because I bought a pair of pants without trying them on and figured I'm gonna probably have to take these back. Like,
just
what is the wait? Hang on, I don't understand. I mean, beyond the fact that like somebody thought, well, this is a barrier to entry, we'll get less coupons.
Yeah,
tracing the logo on the receipt. What the hell? What function does that serve?
That's to prove that you bought it. Like you really had it in your house. That's why, so that you could trace it.
You can't trace at a store.
You can't get a receipt at the store that says bold hold if you didn't buy it.
Well, I guess at this point, receipts weren't itemized that way, perhaps. Right?
But
right.
Like, maybe it's
you could go to a drugstore that still had a cash register.
$2.99.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and it's like so that you don't have to cut the plastic like Tara was saying.
Guess.
So you just trace the bottle.
But either way, this is like for all of this work, I should be getting something for free. $2 off is not enough of an incentive for me to do all of this art, which is what this amounts to. You're tracing the bold hold logo. On page 25, we have an ad for Airwalk. Airwalk, of course, we all know is a skate shoe brand, but you wouldn't know it from this ad, which is saying, don't worry, Airwalks aren't just for your boyfriend or your brother anymore. Now we're doing LA gear knockoffs. Come and check them out at Mervyn's. These look so ugly, but they do seem to come with free keychain, which is kind of fun.
Pretty sure
she's got them on right
Sorry,
now.
Dan. Pretty sure. No, I'm not because we couldn't afford Reeboks. So I'm pretty sure this is what I got when I asked for a pair of Reeboks because they're available at Mervyn's. Oh boy, these they're puffy. I can remember how puffy and stiff and then you'd write on them. That was what you were supposed to do, and then you get in trouble.
Yeah,
this model's got a real 15 or 30 look going on too.
Yep.
Hat she's got on. It looks like, you know, she's about to go canvassing for her favorite pre-war politician.
She's also wearing bracelets from Sassy Club. I'm just noticing now.
Yeah, she's decked out in Sassy Club finest. The socks,
God.
Probably. The fun at Airwalk continues on page 70 when Airwalk throws a sassy contest in here. Airwalk has paid for another page in Sassy. On page 70, there is a Prove How Well You Know Sassy contest, and what you can win are a pair of kicks that look much cooler than anything that was in the previous ad.
Yes.
Maybe because Sassy's in charge of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get to the copy, which I will just perform. Oh. Yo-Yo Holmes. For the word on how to win a pair of bumper hip hops by Airwalk in this month's Prove How Well You Know Sassy contest, check out this little custom-made wrap. Can you do this, Brutus? Oh, it does rhyme. It doesn't rhyme when you read it in your head. Okay. The contest is back, and here are the facts. Think you really know us? All you got to do is show us. The prize is sneakers, and you won't really believe it. They're bumper hip hops, and they're the latest on the block. I don't know what I was supposed to do there to make that couplet work. They're fresh, they're fly, they're pleasing to the eye. If you really want a pair, don't sit there and stare. Just pick up a pen. Don't sweat it, girlfriend, because all you got to do is answer false or true. Word.
I'm convinced. First of all, I think it was girlfriend to make that rhyme.
There's
work.
A G, no D right on there. That. Right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was D at the end. And word, it actually is, because all you got to do is answer false or true word. Like, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. How was I supposed to read the prize is sneakers and you really won't believe her? Is that how I'm supposed to do this? The prize is sneakers and you really won't believe it. I don't know what is this.
They
Long
just
Island?
Gave up in the middle of this. They try to rhyme sneakers and believe it, and then in the very next two lines, they try to rhyme hip hops and block
on the block. The bumper hip hops, and they're the latest on the block. Is that
okay,
helping,
Katharine Hepburn?
This is my walking. I don't know what you're talking about. The contest is back, and here are the facts. The prize is sneakers, and you really won't believe it. Nope. I don't know. I don't know who made it. Yo-Yo Holmes. It's so terrible.
Say what?
Say what?
I'll tell you what.
Got a lot of letters this month. It's been two issues, so now we're getting some feedback about the story about Andy the addict. Someone who knows writes, Katharine, in the April issue, you wrote of a girl who was an addict. Andy told you that one night she and her boyfriend consumed a case of beer, a half bottle of J&B, and a couple of eight balls in a matter of hours. Afterward, she had to go to the hospital for a nosebleed and was able to leave 2 hours later. There's no way Andy snorted that much in a matter of hours. First, she'd be lucky to be alive if she actually did that much. And second, no hospital would let her leave in 2 hours with her system screwed up like that. And then goes on to say, my friend died doing that much drugs. I never, of all the holes that I poked in Andy's story, I certainly did not know to critique that part, but it does make sense.
There is a lot of things to put in your body. This nerd didn't flag it at all. I was like, oh, drugs.
Signed, someone who knows in Ronkonkoma, New York.
And I would like to go to Aruba, Jamaica, Ronkonkoma, New York. Has anyone been to Ronkonkoma? Because I read it as Ronkonkoma. Is it Ronkonkoma?
Ronkonkoma.
Ronkonkoma.
I think it's on Long Island.
Of course it is.
It sounds like something locals drinking instead of hot chocolate.
Or it is something that I would now take once a day.
Oh, yeah. This Bonafide is not cutting it today. Better break out the...
Have you tried Ronkonkoma? You put it in your tea. It's a mushroom from Long Island. And it makes you just know things. Like, you really spot when someone's lying. Which is not something... Like, we lose that ability after four. But with Ronkonkoma, you can spot liars. Clicks critics. Laura, I really liked Clicks, but I feel like my friends and I have been left out. I guess we could be classified as punks, new wave, or gothic, but not skinheads, contrary to the popular belief. Not all people with less than normal amount of hair are Nazis. Although there are still a few of us left, we still exist and deserve to be represented. After all, metalheads aren't the only people who claim an alternative lifestyle. And Kim, I would say, for Kim from Philadelphia, this is part of the problem. We never agreed on a name. We don't want to. So were you a new waver? Were you goth? Were you a punk? Were you a skinhead? These are also different subsections of alternative including like when I would move, it would turn what you were called. And I think like new waver is my favorite. Doesn't new waver sound like whatever? Like alternative always sounded too corporate named.
Mm-hmm. I'll disagree with you. I don't think anything that is, it's like modern art, which is in the past now. You know, like I hate things like that where they like words that are supposed to represent a sense of being contemporary are actually nailed to the past.
Right.
So I would say new wave, I would reject it for that way.
Yeah, but back then, what's wrong with punk?
Nothing.
Okay. Punk to me is a little more aggro than a new waver.
Yeah. New wave is like Joy Division and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, Depeche Mode. This is the thing. Mm-hmm. This is the thing in alternative. Like, you can be into all of these musics and be still, your aesthetic is more goth. But I mean, like, weirdos really does cover it.
Yeah. Dweebies, dickheads, they all adore him.
They all adore him. Lori from Jackson Township, Indiana, writes, "The Alex Winter Keanu Reeves poster is all wrong. Which side do we put on the wall? For true Bill and Ted fans, here's a way to see both sides. Fold over the top an inch or so, find a low travel area in the middle of your room, not too close to the ceiling light, and tack the poster to the ceiling and let it hang. If you hang it right, when you walk around the room, you can see Bill part of the time and Ted part of the time." I just want to say that Lori is now an installation artist.
Lori, inventor of the banner. But wasn't the great thing about double-sided posters is that, much like, you know, the compunction to rearrange the furniture in your room every few months to make your room new and exciting.
Yes.
Which, by the way, at what point in our lives did we grow out of that?
When you have a whole house.
I guess.
I know. No, yeah. That's not true. I really just keep rearranging.
Oh, yeah. We've had this conversation before. Yes. Now I remember.
But I feel like the double-sided poster is a little small part of that. It's like, flip it over. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It was just looking at R2-D2's C-3PO, but now it's fucking Boba Fett, and I'm excited about this poster again.
I think the reason you guys don't rearrange much is your aesthetic is perfection. And so there's nothing to move. Like, you guys put something somewhere, and that's where it goes. It's so clear.
No, my aesthetic is 10,000 knickknacks. So when I rearrange things, it's like forever. A whole deal.
Finally, under the headline, Stuff You Stole, we just have two different people, Jen from Irvine and Carrie from Lincoln Park, Michigan, writing in to say, that bitch in Stuff You Wrote in April copied Ray Bradbury with that stepping on a butterfly bullshit. So. Breaking, area plagiarist, shamed.
I like when Carrie is like, her name was Kelly Smith of Middleport, Ohio. Like, she could still fill out some sort of official complaint.
Yes, this is her police. Proof of purchase, her UPC code. She traced the offending.
Finally, this month's Inside Out is called Fooled You. And I only now get that. It's an April Fool's joke that sometimes we read this magazine in chunks over weeks. And so it takes a while.
This is the June issue, Pam.
Oh, my God. But it's April right now.
Done. We're done. We're done. Go, go, go. End
next
the show.
Time. It's a special episode all about the summer movies of 1989. How did the studios try to get us into theaters to watch all their biggest titles? And which ones did we see? We'll be playing you the real TV ads for movies from June, July, and August of 1989. Adding our commentary. You will want to make some popcorn for this one. For my plug... A few months ago, Pam recommended that you all watch The Lost Daughter. If you still have not, please do so. It's on Netflix. And then read my new interview with one of its stars, Dagmara Demenchik, at vanityfair.com.
Don't forget, you can support Listen to Sassy by joining the Listen to Sassy Club for $5 a month. You will get so many goodies, your head will explode. You will get early episode access. As soon as I'm done with the episode, I send it out to our patrons, so you'll get it early. Watch-alongs. Every month, we'll watch a movie. The next one is Roadhouse.
No, this will have already happened.
The next one was Roadhouse. Ad-free episodes with chapter markers for your convenience. Free stickers. Oh, my goodness. So much for only $5. And it's pretty much the way that we keep the lights on here at Listen to Sassy. So if you enjoy what you're hearing, please consider becoming a club member today. Go to listentosassy.com/club for full details.
This episode's best line was by Tara Ariano with, "Someone's going to know that something's coming out of me." You can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, and contact info for all of us at our website, listentosassy.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Peel off this delicious donut-y covering, and it's sort of like a like a mud mask, except it's, you know, walnut crunch.
Delicious.
It wasn't the worst part of working at the donut shop. I'm
just you just in class later because you didn't have time to go home and shower and just like lick, lick, lick your own hand. sounds like not necessarily so, no.
Well, so when you bake a donut, almost every type of donut except for ones that just have like sugar on them for like super old people, you're going to have glaze on it. And so you pour the glaze on it and that glaze gets fucking everywhere. Like I'm still picking out little pieces of glaze from my hair and between my butt cheeks and stuff like that from like this thing 35 years ago.
Where did you put your donuts?
Everywhere.
Were you baking in the nude?
He got up at the crack of dawn, but I thought it was a different kind.
The donut business is highly competitive and the ingredients are worth a lot. So just like the women in movies that are packing up cocaine, they made us go in the back and bake donuts in the nude.
Wow.
I think they still do.
That is how you get pimples on your butt.
Yep.